Well, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Steelers are on a two-game winning streak. You're listening to The Standard is the Standard, so that's your half-game win along with the upcoming Steelers game against the Oakland Raiders, Week 8 at the Oco Coliseum, home of one Lance Williams, the co-host of The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Kulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. We are recording this Thursday evening in wake of the Steelers' big AFC clash, and in many ways, season determining game. The Steelers at 2-4 really need to have this win, Lance, for obvious reasons. But more than anything else, if you're getting to the midpoint of the season, this is really where teams are going to start to take kind of their first leap into contending status. After the first quarter of the season, it's really hard for the Steelers to even try to suggest that they were anything even close to resembling a contender. Where they are now, after two wins in a row against the Jets and one against the Ravens last week, the Steelers are starting to show a little bit of life here and are threatening to climb out of the cellar. The Oakland Raiders are a team that are predominantly at the bottom of the cellar, whether it's the division, the conference, the NFL, or the universe. They're not a team that is known to win many games. In fact, the most eye-popping stat I think I've seen this season, the Raiders are 0-10 after the bye week since 2002. How does a team even get to that? How do you lose 10 straight at any one point in the schedule? Could you look at any other team and say, flat out, week six, we never win. We take it off. I don't know what the deal is. Coming out of a bye, Mike Tomlin's 6-1. How are the Oakland Raiders 0-10, and will that streak be in jeopardy after this game?
The interesting thing with that streak is that there are two competing streaks. Many of you know I live out on the West Coast. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm from the North Side. I'm from Manchester. I was born in Oakland. I'm probably about, I grew up maybe about 10 minutes from the stadium. But you guys know that I live on the West Coast, and I actually live in Oakland. Ironic, I was born in Oakland and Pittsburgh and live in Oakland on the West Coast. But my history of watching the Steelers on the West Coast is dismal at best. I've never seen them beat the Raiders on the West Coast since I've been out here. I've only seen them win one game, period, out here, and I believe that was in 99 against the San Francisco 49ers. I got rained on for four quarters, but the Steelers won the game. So there are two competing streaks here. The abysmal nature of the Raiders and their lack of preparation coming out the break versus the ineptitude of the Pittsburgh Steelers coming out west to try to win a ball game. So there you have it.
I think it's fair to point out as well. The Raiders have probably had 47 different coaches in that time as well. So you can't even just blame this on Dennis Allen and his staff. For what Oakland is doing this season, you see a team that I think gets after it in the run game a little bit, Lance. At least that's my take of it. They look feisty. They look aggressive. They're a group that wants to play physical football. And I think that's coming from Allen, and despite the fact you look at him, he's the last guy on earth you think of toughness when you see. I think I look tougher than that guy does. For what the Raiders are trying to accomplish, they're getting a few things done here and there. And the concern that I have, along with the dismal record that you pointed out, the fact that it seems borderline impossible to lose 11 straight after a bye, when you have an improvisational playmaking quarterback, you don't know which way things are going to go. It's one missed tackle. It's one trip on the grass. It's one thing before a long-legged high hurdler like Terrell Pryor can break free to the outside and pick up big yards in a third and long situation. Those kinds of plays have a snowball effect that goes downhill. Do you have any concern about Pryor as a quarterback? And we're redefining what the position of quarterback is over the last two seasons, and I'm not sure I necessarily like it. But for what Pryor can do, it's that dual threat. I'm not sure what else I can do, so I'm going to dance around until I can find a space to run, and then I'm going to take off. What do you think about him as a quarterback as it pertains to this game?
You know, as a pocket quarterback, he's sorely lacking. He's inexperienced. I don't think he's all too accurate, and he throws a weird ball. He, you know, has a weird motion. He's not the, you know, prototypical classic drop-back guy. But I think what you're saying is true. When you watch him on film and you watch him play, it's the improvising nature, as I flubbed that word, of his play.
I think I did too.
And it's him being able to get that extra second for a guy to get open. It's making a couple of people miss. It's making some aging guys have to cover a little bit longer. It's that type of stuff that can either kill you or it can make you, in the case of Kansas City, where they were able to pick him off a couple of times in the fourth quarter and really stretch that lead out in that game. But he's dangerous because he can improvise on a dime, and he's an elite athlete. And they're going to have to be very disciplined in terms of how they rush him and how they try to attack him.
With that, we're going to get into the Steelers' equalizer, if you will, with the one position unit that I think isn't being talked about enough heading into this game. And we're going to break down Terrell Pryor a little bit more here on The Standard Is The Standard. We'll be right back.
Well, all right.
We pointed out the two-game winning streak. The Standard Is The Standard. Your Steelers Week 8 pregame show here. Thursday night heading into the Steelers versus Raiders game at Oco Coliseum in Oakland. I'm Neil Kulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. I am with Lance Williams of Steel Curtain Radio. We're breaking down the Oakland Raiders right now, and we started with Terrell Pryor, and in many ways, it kind of starts and finishes with him. He seems to be the kind of player that can make things happen when he needs them to, or when a defense simply just makes a mistake. When they don't, the second most eye-popping stat this season that I've seen so far, the Kansas City Chiefs sacked him 10 times. Now, I think that, tied an NFL record? The NFL's been playing for a while. I mean, granted, it's not Major League Baseball, but a lot of games have gone by. Not many teams have sacked the quarterback 10 times in a game. That's not an offensive line. That's not a great defense. That's a bad quarterback, in my opinion. There are only so many sacks you should be able to take anyway. Pryor's decision-making, Lance, that's a real problem with me. If I'm watching him, I'm trying to coach him. He simply does not make good decisions with the football. I mean, the Steelers secondary heading into this game faces a guy that, frankly, it doesn't protect the football very well. But this is a defense that doesn't take the ball away either. What is this matchup going to entail?
You know, it's going to be about the number 18, and you talk about the 10 sacks, but if you look at footballoutsiders.com, excellent website in terms of football stats, the Raiders are last in the National Football League in adjusted sack rate. But you have to weigh that number, the 28 sacks that they've given up, which is also second in the National Football League to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have to weigh that number against the 8 sacks that the Steelers have gotten this year. And the Steelers are only averaging 1.3 sacks per game and only 3.5 quarterback hits. So can the Steelers take advantage of a guy that doesn't make good decisions and a guy that has a very average offensive line at best? And I think if you're watching this game, you can get further information and glean more from the Pittsburgh Steelers by the end of the game. If the Steelers don't have five sacks and a couple of turnovers, they're just not going to get a lot of sacks and turnovers moving forward. This is a get the stat sheet fat type of team that they should be able to take advantage of. And in watching Pryor, he's going to hold it because he doesn't know where to go with the football consistently, and he's going to give guys opportunities to get after him. Will the Steelers be able to take advantage? I think so.
I think it's a great question, and certainly one that we're going to look at heading into the game in our analysis on Behind the Steel Curtain, so feel free to stop by and check that out a little bit. A lot of what you said, Lance, I think hits the nail on the proverbial head. And the reason I say that is this, in a lot of ways, is the movable force versus the resistible object. The Steelers do not sack the quarterback. The Raiders can't help themselves but to give up sacks. They're the most generous and gentlemanly teams in the AFC when it comes to those particular stats. How the Steelers are going to get five sacks in the game is a mystery to me from where I sit. Jarvis Jones is going to come back. He's going to play in this game after missing last week with concussion-like symptoms after the Steelers beat the Jets in week six. Whether he's in there or not, they don't get pressure. He is borderline incapable of getting pressure on quarterback. We had a piece on Behind the Steel Curtain today by our own Dale Gurdnick, who wrote about Jones in particular, what he needs to do in this game and kind of the end of his rookie period and the team needing to see something from him if they want to compete this season. They need to get their defense going. In a lot of ways, Jones has to be kind of that edge rusher, and he's not. He hasn't been. What are we seeing from him? What are the issues with Jarvis Jones right now? First-round draft pick, rookie, all that. Mel Kiper came out with his top 35 rookies so far this season. Not one Steeler on there, certainly not Jarvis Jones. Where is he right now in his development?
He's a guy that needs to be schemed to get pressure. They're going to have to scheme ways to get him pressure because one-on-one, he can't get pressure. And I love that you keep talking about the sacks because – you know, I'm listening to Greg Cosell, and Greg Cosell, the producer of the matchup show on ESPN, who does a fantastic job, he was talking about the Steelers' defense playing well and the Steelers maybe being a team that could go on a run. But when you're averaging 1.3 sacks per game and you're giving up over 3 sacks a game, you know, you have to, there's a discrepancy there that you have to make up of 2 sacks because sacks end drives. But when you look at Jarvis Jones, you know, again, they're going to have to scheme him in ways to get him on backs or get him on tight ends because he cannot beat tackles. He will beat backs, and I think it's 50-50 against tight ends. But if he has to rush consistently against tackles and the Steelers hope that they get pressure, that's not going to happen.
Seen that to this point as well, and the opportunities that he's had few and far in between where he's locked on a running back, he's able to make a move more than he is overpower people. And I think that's really the key thing. You're talking about scheming him to get him after the quarterback. I think they need to move him on stunts. I think they need to get him inside. You know, I see a player that's much more slithery than he is powerful. He doesn't have a pass rush move. The biggest Jarvis Jones fan in the world cannot convince me that he has a legitimate NFL-level pass rush move right now. He doesn't. He'll get it. This isn't hating on Jarvis Jones. He's going to get there. He's not there now. His stats don't show. He's barely even on the field if you look at that. They need to stunt him around. They need to get him in the A-gap. They even need to line him up inside. They need to do something if they want him to be a productive player. If they don't, I mean, I don't know what else you do. It really speaks more to the fact that you have 2 top 50 picks or close to top 50 picks along your right outside linebacker position, and you're getting no production from either of them. Jason Worlds did not play well at all last week against Baltimore. And this is really what it comes down to. If I could freeze time and just not do anything else for the day, it would probably take me to compile this. I'd love to find out what the winning percentage is of teams that get one sack and no turnovers in a game. That's what the Steelers did against the Ravens. You saw them get moved on the last drive. The Steelers defense was tired. They had been on the field, not just in that drive, but in that game for a fairly considerable amount of time. And if they're not able to make game-changing plays, you're going to get the game taken away from you. And you want to know why I know that, Lance? Oco Coliseum last year, same thing happened. Steelers defense, it barely showed up. The offense gave the ball back twice, I think, in the last 20 minutes of the game, and the defense couldn't stop them. They gave up a 10-point lead late, and they lost to the Raiders, a team that was not competitive overall. They didn't play a great game. The Steelers beat themselves in a lot of ways. Are we going to see that again Sunday? Are they going to put up a duplicate performance in which they can't make the plays and they have the plays made against them, and that's what ultimately cost them the game?
It could very well happen, but the one difference to point out between last year's game and this year's game is, at least with Carson Palmer, when Carson Palmer isn't turning over the football, there are stretches in games when he can spin it like he used to. I don't know if Terrell Pryor can take advantage of them in that way and make the type of plays that Carson Palmer made in the 2-minute and 4-minute drill. But we were talking earlier in the show about how do the Steelers get sacks in this game. Let me read these names to you. Bryce Butler, Jerron Kreiner, Jacoby Ford, Andre Holmes, Denarius Moore, Rod Streeter. Those are the wide receivers for the Oakland Raiders. Denarius Moore is a solid player. Other than that, those guys are just guys, as I like to say. So the Steelers may be in a situation where they can get coverage sacks, where they cover those guys fairly well, maybe confuse some looks for Terrell Pryor, and he holds the ball and gives the pass rush that much longer, or that second longer, that second and a half, to get to the quarterback. If they can contain him, maintain the integrity of their rush lanes and not let him get out the gate. So I think the Steelers can play very well against this offense of the Raiders, and I think that they're going to in this game.
Seen that to this point as well, and the opportunities that he's had few and far in between where he's locked on a running back, he's able to make a move more than he is overpower people. And I think that's really the key thing. You're talking about scheming him to get him after the quarterback. I think they need to move him on stunts. I think they need to get him inside. You know, I see a player that's much more slithery than he is powerful. He doesn't have a pass rush move. The biggest Jarvis Jones fan in the world cannot convince me that he has a legitimate NFL-level pass rush move right now. He doesn't. He'll get it. This isn't hating on Jarvis Jones. He's going to get there. He's not there now. His stats don't show. He's barely even on the field if you look at that. They need to stunt him around. They need to get him in the A-gap. They even need to line him up inside. They need to do something if they want him to be a productive player. If they don't, I don't know what else you do. It really speaks more to the fact that you have two top 50 picks or close to top 50 picks along your right outside linebacker position, and you're getting no production from either. Jason Worlds did not play well at all last week against Baltimore. And this is really what it comes down to. If I could freeze time and just not do anything else for the day, it would probably take me to compile this. I'd love to find out what the winning percentage is of teams that get one sack and no turnovers in a game. That's what the Steelers did against the Ravens. You saw them get moved on the last drive. The Steelers defense was tired. They had been on the field, not just in that drive, but in that game for a fairly considerable amount of time. And if they're not able to make game-changing plays, you're going to get the game taken away from you. And you want to know why I know that, Lance? Oco Coliseum last year, same thing happened. Steelers defense, it barely showed up. The offense gave the ball back twice, I think, in the last 20 minutes of the game, and the defense couldn't stop them. They gave up a 10-point lead late, and they lost to the Raiders, a team that was not competitive overall. They didn't play a great game. The Steelers beat themselves in a lot of ways. are we going to see that again in Sunday? Are they going to put up a duplicate performance in which they can't make the plays and they have the plays made against them, and that's what ultimately costs them the game?
Well, all right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
Seen that to this point as well, and the opportunities that he's had few and far in between, where he's locked on a running back, he's able to make a move more than he is overpower people. And I think that's really the key thing. You're talking about scheming him to get him after the quarterback. I think they need to move him on stunts. I think they need to get him inside. You know, I see a player that's much more slithery than he is powerful. He doesn't have a pass rush move. I, you know, the biggest Jarvis Jones fan in the world cannot convince me that he has a legitimate NFL level pass rush move right now. He doesn't. He'll get it. This isn't hating on Jarvis Jones. He's going to get there. He's not there now. His stats don't show. He's barely even on the field if you look at that. They need to stunt him around. They need to get him in the A gap. They even need to line him up inside. They need to do something if they want him to be a productive player. If they don't, I mean, I don't know what else you do. It really speaks more to the fact that you have two top 50 picks or close to top 50 picks along your right outside linebacker position, and you're getting no production from either of them. Jason Worlds did not play well at all last week against Baltimore. And this is really what it comes down to. If I could freeze time and just not do anything else for the day, it would probably take me to compile this. I'd love to find out what the winning percentage is of teams that get one sack and no turnovers in a game. That's what the Steelers did against the Ravens. You saw them getting moved on the last drive. The Steelers defense was tired. They had been on the field, not just in that drive, but in that game for a fairly considerable amount of time. And if they're not able to make game-changing plays, you're going to get the game taken away from you. And you want to know why I know that, Lance? Oco Coliseum last year. Same thing happened. Steelers defense barely showed up. The offense gave the ball back twice, I think, in the last 20 minutes of the game, and the defense couldn't stop them. They gave up a 10-point lead late, and they lost to the Raiders, a team that was not competitive overall. They didn't play a great game. The Steelers beat themselves in a lot of ways. Are we going to see that again in Sunday? Are they going to put up a duplicate performance in which they can't make the plays and they have the plays made against them, and that's what ultimately costs them the game?
I think it's going to be nip and tuck. They're an inconsistent bunch. I think everybody was surprised at the performance against the Ravens, given the Ravens front seven. David DeCastro played a fantastic game. I urge any of you guys, if you have the NFL.com's package where you can look at the All-22, take a look at David DeCastro and spotlight him. Played a very good game, played with a lot more physicality than we've seen so far in his career. If they can run the football and continue to run the football like they did against the Ravens, I think they'll be okay. The Raiders are scrappy. I like Marcus Houston. I think he's the most talented pass rusher in that unit. But they have 16 sacks, and they get after it. And if you watch them, you know, like you said and you alluded to at the top of the program, they're a scrappy defense. They play with a lot of heart. They play with a lot of hustle and a lot of motor. You can see that they don't give up on plays, and they play tough. You know, go back and look at the Kansas City game if you guys get a chance. They play tough. Look at the Indy game. They play tough. The only real game where an offense really got after them was the Denver game. And Denver gets after all offenses. It just doesn't matter who you are. So I think the Steelers, it's going to be nip and tuck somewhat in this game. I think that Steelers are going to have to run the football to kind of control the game. If they can't, you know, I think it's going to be a tough game from a pass protection standpoint, just because we don't know what we're going to get with this offensive line. I mean, this is an offensive line that's given up 22 sacks on the year. That's 28th best in adjusted sack rate, going up against a top 10 team in adjusted sack rate in terms of their 16 sacks. So that's always the rub week in and week out when it comes to this Steelers team.
seen that to this point as well, and the opportunities that he's had few and far in between where he's locked on a running back, he's able to make a move more than he is overpower people. And I think that's really the key thing. You're talking about scheming him to get him after the quarterback. I think they need to move him on stunts. I think they need to get him inside. You know, I see a player that's much more slithery than he is powerful. He doesn't have a pass rush move. I mean, you know, the biggest Jarvis Jones fan in the world cannot convince me that he has a legitimate NFL level pass rush move right now. He doesn't. He'll get it. This isn't hating on Jarvis Jones. He's going to get there. He's not there now. His stats don't show. He's barely even on the field if you look at that. They need to stunt him around. They need to get him in the A-gap. They even need to line him up inside. They need to do something if they want him to be a productive player. If they don't, I mean, I don't know what else you do. It really speaks more to the fact that you have two top 50 picks or close to top 50 picks along your right outside linebacker position, and you're getting no production from either of them. Jason Worlds did not play well at all last week against Baltimore. And this is really what it comes down to. If I could freeze time and just not do anything else for the day, it would probably take me to compile this. I'd love to find out what the winning percentage is of teams that get one sack and no turnovers in a game. That's what the Steelers did against the Ravens. You saw them get moved on the last drive. The Steelers defense was tired. They had been on the field, not just in that drive, but in that game for a fairly considerable amount of time. And if they're not able to make game-changing plays, you're going to get the game taken away from you. And you want to know why I know that, Lance? Oco Coliseum last year, same thing happened. Steelers defense it barely showed up. The offense gave the ball back twice, I think, in the last 20 minutes of the game, and the defense couldn't stop them. They gave up a 10-point lead late, and they lost to the Raiders, a team that was not competitive overall. They didn't play a great game. The Steelers beat themselves in a lot of ways. Are we going to see that again in Sunday? Are they going to put up a duplicate performance in which they can't make the plays and they have the plays made against them, and that's what ultimately cost them the game?
As well in this game, I like them a little bit more comfortable than you. I think they win the game based on a turnover or two, and that's like he's saying the Steelers get a turnover. I think the way that Pryor is carefree with the football, he's essentially a rookie QB. I think they'll be able to confuse him a bit. I think the Steelers can really cover those wide receivers, and in turn, that will make the pass rush that much better. I think the Steelers have some decent athletes out there in Timmons and Troy and Shamarco and Cortez Allen and those type of guys that can make necessary plays to keep Pryor from really gashing them in the run game. And I saw something in the Jets game that's carried over the last two games, and we talked about it briefly. I was really impressed in that Jets game the way the Steelers were able to run the football in the fourth quarter to get a critical first down to milk the clock in that game. I think that carried over into the Ravens game. And I think this offensive line is starting to play with a little bit of nastiness, a little bit of a chip. And I think Le'Veon Bell in that lineup has given that offensive line a little bit of confidence as well, to the point where if we don't block it perfect, we have a back that's patient, that has good vision, that can make cuts and get some extra yards to really help us. So I think the running game continues to flourish in this game, maybe not to the tune against the Ravens. And I like the pass protection to be about what it is. So I like the Steelers in this game 24-10.
That's bold. 24 points would be the second highest total they've had this season, and it'd be the highest in the winning effort for them. 19 in two straight wins. 19-6 over the Jets, 19-16 over the Ravens in week 7. One problem, Lance, and I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to try to make your sleep a little uncomfortable tonight. Last time the Steelers faced a starting quarterback who was from Pittsburgh, they lost the game in 2009 to now Steelers backup quarterback Bruce Gradkowski. What team did he play for, Lance?
Your Oakland Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders. History won't repeat itself. The Steelers are going to win this game. You've been listening to The Standard is the Standard with Behind the Steel Curtain. I'm Neil Coulong with Steel Curtain Radio. He's Lance Williams. Thank you all for listening, and until next week.
Well, all right. Whoa!